The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 957. Happy New Year. You're probably sick of that already. But it's the 2nd of January 2018. On the podcast today, I have George McDonough, CEO of Kryptonite One. That's KR1 ticker. It's on the Next Exchange, and it's a blockchain investing company. And George discusses some of their recent investments and returns. And they're doing very well. And as you know, the crypto space is huge at the moment, with blockchain and Bitcoin going almost hitting the $12,000 mark. Also on the podcast, I've got Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about Feedback. That's FDBK, Petrofac, PFC, and Prairie Mining. PDZ or Z. Plus, as always, have the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top 5 most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is George McDonough, CEO of Kryptonite One. George, thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me.
Now, last time we chatted, your share price, and yet you are listed on the Next Exchange, but are you available to buy via an ISA? And I had to email my, because last time you were on, you said this, and I went there and tried to search for it. I couldn't find it, so I had to email Barclays themselves, stockbrokers, and they put it up there, and now it's there, available. But I got to explain, George, for people listening or didn't hear that podcast previously, could you explain what Kryptonite One is all about, please?
Sure. First of all, there was Bitcoin. That was the first blockchain, and then it developed over time, and we had a new area of infrastructure called Ethereum. And Kryptonite One generally works in the Ethereum space, and we buy cryptographic assets for decentralized applications that are building on blockchain technology. So we're a blockchain investment company, essentially.
Yeah, and do you know what? I suppose Bitcoin has spearheaded the promotion or the research into cryptocurrencies. I mean, there's a lot of people in this space already, but it's only... Do you know what? When I talk to people not in the investment space, they have no idea what blockchain's all about, but they've heard of Bitcoin because it's hit, you know, national headlines, and it's gone from literally ridiculous levels to like almost $20,000. It's come back a bit now. But, of course, people don't know there's a whole world of cryptocurrencies out there aside from Bitcoin that's happening, that's very frenzied, very active. And I did, you know, tweet out recently, just before Christmas, so I'm looking to get some blockchain exposure, and I did have some before. I was invested in Blue Star Capital a while, who invested in Satoshi Pay, which I know you are as well. And I said, any suggestions? And I put this on Twitter, and lots came back, and your company came back. I said, yes, that's right. And I said, I listened to our previous podcast interviews, and then I looked at some of the reports you've filed on the Next Exchange, and I was shocked by your returns. I mean, I checked your market cap, which is around about 11, 12 million, and looked at the returns you're getting, and I'll give a couple of examples. So, for example, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but is it Qtum? Is that what they're called, tokens?
Quantum. Qtum for sure.
Yeah, so Quantum, you initially invested just short of £19,000 in that, and you sold a return, and there's a price at 26 pence, and you sold... for £10.98, so that's like £574,000 return. I thought, what? So I looked. Come on.
Well, it could have been, you know, even more. When we got out, we'd done, you know, obviously very well, but the price has since gone even further. So these things, they have global adoption, and there's very little barrier to entry. Other than a sort of technical understanding, and you know, the internet generation passed that barrier very quickly. So there's as long as there's sort of good fundamentals to the project, so you know, a great team and a great utility. These decentralized applications or blockchains have huge potential, and that's why you see these price rises. It's the market sort of beginning to understand how significant these technologies are.
Yeah, well, my area is AIM, essentially. And, you know, I've got a head full of in research notes and stuff on companies on AIM, so I spent a lot of time there. And I did sort of foray into sort of cryptocurrencies a little bit, but I thought, I don't know anything about these. There's so many of them, and I don't know what to do. And so I thought, I was looking around for some investment, I thought, why not get some guys who know about it, do my due diligence like yourself there, and just rely on you? And so I looked at some other returns you've had, and I thought, that must be an exceptional return there. I looked through, and you've had quite a few of these returns. It's like Melon, for example. Yeah. You've bought at, £3.87 a token, sold a 64 quid a token, and then you've got Omisego. You've average price was £6.91, and you bought that at 20 pence. and also Funfair, the price of that was, you sold for like 0.022, but you bought that 0.005. So that's going well. I looked at the interim results, and it turns out you made a profit just short of 4 million on a market cap of 11 million. That's good going, isn't it?
It is. It's very good going. I think the key here is, like you said, is the ability to of our team to isolate the good projects. So we've got a lot of experience. We've been in the space a long time, and we've got a great network of contacts and technical advisors. And so when we bring all this together, we end up being able to pinpoint what we feel is going to do very well. And that's effectively the whole point of Kryptonite One is the ability to assess this huge market. Now, I mean, there are tens of thousands of coins, but just isolate the ones that we feel are have the right fundamentals.
Yeah, and well, your results were up until the 30th of June, and since that time, I mean, the cryptocurrency space, I assume, has gone even more ballistic, hasn't it? Because, I mean, you know, Bitcoin has been hitting record levels since summer. So have you managed to sort of, are you still doing well in this space since June?
Well, I couldn't possibly comment at this time because the audit's going on. But you know, we hope to track the space. We hope to track the space successfully, and so far we've been tracking it well.
I mean, you know, I get CEOs on the podcast every time saying they're undervalued. But I mean, on these figures, I know you're in a sort of you know, I mean, there's less liquidity on Next, and less people know about it, and also within the blockchain is also, people would say, it's quite a risky environment. So, you know, you can't put yourself on a traditional PE metric. But I mean, and of course, if I ask you if you are undervalued, you're going to say you are. But do you feel like people haven't caught on to you a bit, or what? Or you're hidden away?
Well, we've been very much focused on making sure that our basket of assets are the highest quality they can be, and we know that, you know, the market is going to educate itself over time as to what these things are, and it's fantastic to see that happening. We've seen a huge media sort of exposure of the space. Yes, you know, 99% of it is Bitcoin, but we're beginning to hear a lot more about Ethereum. And as people dive in and begin to understand it, they will eventually become to understand what it is we're holding and why it's potentially so valuable. So our main aim was to make sure that we picked the investments correctly, and now that, you know, things are beginning to move in the right direction, we'll begin to talk far more to the market in 2018. So we've done the first bit right, and now we're going to concentrate on the second bit.
Yeah, and your strategy, investment strategy, I mean, I assume you're always looking out for new, you know, blockchain sort of based investments, but do you have a particular strategy? I mean, do you look for a certain return? Do you sell half, or what happens?
Well, yeah, it's a mixture of strategies, but I suppose the main thing is that we you know, obviously look at the team and the project, and if you have a wide understanding of the technology and where the developers in the space are pushing the tech, you can begin to see which projects are in the right area. Mm-hmm. And have significant potential, and you know, and at that point we'll go to our technical advisors, and we'll bring it all together into a package and decide whether to back it, and that's that's most of what we do. And then we have a great network of contacts in the space. And so projects sort of find their way to us through the right channels. Mm-hmm. And if a project comes to us through a group of people that we trust, who are also crypto funds in the space or people that we know, then we'll take a look at it. Because at the moment, clearly, there's too much out there. And so we have to have a filter system in place. And that filter system's currently working very well.
Yeah. And do you look, like I said, those kind of returns I just mentioned there are quite exceptional. I mean, if you look at traditional returns in the stock market, I mean, I think the FTSE hit a record last year and was up like 7%. Now, you're doing multiples and multiples here. I mean, do you hope to achieve that all the time? Or is that, you're just thinking this is at the moment, it's a bit crazy at the moment. We're getting this, but we're enjoying it. But, I mean, what do you look for? Do you target any kind of return?
You have to sort of separate the crypto world from anything else, really, because it behaves entirely differently. It has, there are obviously correlations, but it moves incredibly quickly. And like you say, the multiples can be ridiculous. And that's mainly down to the scarcity of supply and the amount of people who are coming to the technology and understanding it. And that creates this huge sort of, upsurge in values. You also have to remember, of course, that, like I said before, the barrier to entry is not great. Anyone with an internet connection can take part. They can start managing their own portfolio of assets. And of course, it's a very seductive space. You have endless projects to look into. They all have this blockchain mechanism beneath it, which makes it incredibly exciting because it creates new kinds of businesses that have never been able to exist before. And like in everything, like going back to the dot-com times, people find it very hard to price these things. There's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of fervor in the market. It's not always going to be this way, obviously. There will come a time, probably a year or 2 years, I'd imagine, and there'll be plenty of ups and downs in that time. But gradually, we'll get better at judging the values of these businesses. But in that time, as long as you've picked correctly, and as long as you've got a good sense of what's going to do well, then yes, we will produce quite crazy multiples.
Yeah,
and the strategy is to get out what we put in, at a multiple of 4 or 5, and then repurpose that into more projects. And that's basically what Kryptonite One has done since day one. We were able to get into a lot of projects very quickly by repurposing our investments, and we call it the trophy cabinet. We put the tokens aside to let the project do what it's going to do, and then we repurpose our investments into more projects.
Excellent stuff. And like you said, you are available to invest via ISA, even on the next. But are there any, I know some people have mentioned this, but are there any plans to move to AIM as well?
I couldn't comment at this time. Clearly we have a roadmap in mind, but as to how that's going to pan out, couldn't say.
Yeah. Excellent stuff, George. Good to chat to you, and nice to get you on, because I know lots of people are looking around for blockchain exposure, and obviously you're one of the options. Thanks for coming on, and hopefully speak again soon.
No, not at all. Thanks for having me.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now for the new year, it's Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're right, Al.
And a very happy new year to you too, Jus. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it was good. Well, I haven't spoken to you since the holiday. I went to Mexico.
No, I know.
Very, very nice there. Excellent service, excellent food. Loved that. Not a big fan of Christmas and New Year, to be honest. It's a little rubbish, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, I'm a grumpy old man, but I just think, all these people trying to be nice to each other and saying all this. I think, be nice all year. It's fine. Why just save it for the end of the year?
Just to Christmas?
Yeah. And also, yeah. I I'm not a fan just sitting around doing nothing. I like doing stocks and shares. I like to keep busy. And if I don't, my mind wanders and I just start eating lots of stuff. And, to me, Christmas is, I just find I don't feel good after it. I feel, and these days I'm so old, I can't run anymore. So I used to go running for Christmas sometimes and I just lose weight on Christmas. But this time, just eating, the markets aren't open, I'm just thinking, come on, let's get past all this nonsense.
Exactly. Well, I've tried to minimize eating during the festive period because it's so easy to do. We've been traveling around, seeing loads of relatives and everything. And frankly, I am glad it's all over now. I want to get back into my cycling regime, you know, so I'll get out on the bike and cycle, say, sort of 30, 40 miles. And then, yeah, you feel great after that. Walk the dogs and stuff. And got to get back into that routine because the weather has just been dreadful. I mean, it's just been raining all the time. It's been horrible. So you were definitely in the right place in away in Mexico.
Yeah, travelers, we had 10 days of eating at a, you know, all-inclusive, nice food, and then came back for Christmas, eating even more. What's going on here? It's like a month of just gluttony and gorging. Anyway, let's get back to stocks.
Back to what we love.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, it's good that you're on because I did buy some feedback just before Christmas. I wrote a blog on them because I thought they were doing, you know, looking at this level. Because Trevor Brown, as we know, was a non-executive director, but he stepped down and he said publicly, actually, I've seen a Twitter forum, no reflect on the company, and he's obviously sold a lot of shares because he did hold, I don't know, 28% at one point, and he said apparently, that's too much for a shareholder to own. As a non-executive director, it's fine, but as just a private investor, you know, it's too much. So he's reduced his stake to like 12.55. And I worked out that on an average of 2.5 pence a share, that was around about £604,000. Now, when you're talking about a company that's around about 5 million market cap, and I think the daily trade on that stock is around about 20 grand per day, trades go through per day, £604,000 of shares over a four-month period, it's a lot of downward pressure on the share price, isn't it, you know?
Absolutely, it is. And not only have you been taking advantage of that, I mean, I'm also a long-term shareholder in Feedback too, because as you know, we've worked with Feedback over the years. We're based at the Sussex Innovation Centre and Texrad, the medical imaging technology arm of Feedback PLC, is also based at the Innovation Centre. So we've got, I know Balaji Ganeshan and the guys there, and it is an excellent little company. And Trevor has stepped back. As we know, Trevor has many other interests. He's involved with Stone Checker, which uses the Texrad medical imaging technology as part of its offering. And he's also involved in Braveheart and other companies too. And he's been selling shares. And as you rightly say, when you've got £600,000 of the shares on a company that's worth just 5 million, that is a lot of downward pressure. Mm-hmm. But we've seen people take advantage of that. We've seen Jonathan Cranston adding to his holding quite substantially, which is pushing the share price up. But the reason is that Feedback is, in my opinion, and it is my opinion, and I'm a shareholder, but I believe it's massively undervalued. This technology has now has a CE mark for Texrad Lung, which is to say it can be used in a medical capacity when treating lung tumors and cancers. They've applied for a host of other CE marks for Texrad use. But let's not forget, prior to that, Texrad in its commercial form has been selling for a number of years very successfully, and it's they have JVs all over the world with different hospital units and medical technology companies. And I believe that Texrad at the moment is just scratching the surface of the potential that the medical imaging software will offer in the future. Added to this, of course, we've got CADRAN, which is the archived imaging service. It's in use at Addenbrooke's Hospital. CADRAN also have a JV with Future Processing in Poland to further develop the archiving and imaging service. So it's a very complete little company. And it's not just, I wouldn't say Flying Brands or Stonechecker are a one-trick pony, but they've got a specific focus. But the potential range of applications for Texrad is huge, and in my opinion, that range and that potential dwarfs the current market cap where we are today, which is why we're seeing shrewd investors like Jonathan Cranston get on board.
Yeah, well, do you know, it's odd that I think people thought the CE mark would be, you know, would rewrite the share price. But what you had in the background was like, I said, Trevor selling. So it never, you know, and I explained on the weekend podcast, I said, when you get a company with not a lot of liquidity and the stock, you know, is trading like a couple of, say, for example, say 100,000 shares are bought, and then, off the back of that, you know, Trevor will use that liquidity to get rid of some of his shares. So he'll sell 150,000. So there's always downward pressure. Now, he said in a public forum, he stopped selling. So he's happy with his level. So there's no selling pressure now. And you've got the background like this. They've got two sort of, you know, a memorandum of understanding with Alliance Medical. Now, they have more than 50% of all NHS PET scans, CT scans. And also, they signed this letter of intent, this leading global medical imaging company. And I said in the blog, I said, it looks at it, you know, if you look at it, and the fact that they've been hooked up with GE Healthcare in this, they've done a deal with Boyer, which is a supplier with GE Healthcare, and also Chairman Dr. Riddle spent 5 years there at GE Healthcare, and also Tim Irish, who joined in place of Trevor, was also a senior position at GE Healthcare. They got almost, I suspect it may be with them, but I mean, what it is, they've got two good connections with majors, you know, and I think these majors wouldn't be interested in them unless their product was viable. And we know it is because, you know, like I said, they've been using it in research purposes, and lots of papers have been produced about this technology. So I think, you know, like I said, sometimes when people see a share price dropping, they don't see the background as to why it's dropping. If it's because of a fundamental flaw in the business, fair enough. But it's not here. It's completely not. It's an opportunity, I feel, if you've done your research. You know, think, wow. And like the last raise they did was 2.75 pence. And I was like,
you know. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's it. And I'd also add, too, that I'm sure Trevor Brown, the way he manages his affairs, he's selling shares to raise money to put into other businesses. So so he's raising funds. He's not selling because he thinks the company isn't going places. He knows full well the potential that's the latent potential that is locked within feedback at present. But also, you know, we mentioned Dr. Alistair Riddell and Tim Irish, who joined the board, that give those connections. But Balaji Ganeshan, the chief scientific officer, is presenting at prestigious conferences all over the world, including one recently in China, and they have. Textrad is renowned around the world for its effectiveness and the opportunities that it provides. And Dr. Ganeshan is also very well respected, and in many ways he's provided the catalyst and the springboard to take it to where it is. And with Dr. Riddell and with Tim Irish joining the board, that potential, I believe, will be realized very soon indeed. And as I said right at the start, they've applied for a host of other CE marks for into areas into which Textrad can be used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's make no bones about it. You know, Trevor still holds 12.55%. That's still a big chunk, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, people
looking
at what he sold, but look what he holds. That's still a big chunk there. And, you know, that's a huge investment, really. A huge vote of confidence, I think, in the company. Anyway, listen, that's feedback. We may be a bit biased. We've both owned some shares, so please do your own research.
What
else are you looking at? Anything else?
Okay, two other companies. I want to talk about Prairie Mining in a second, in which I also hold shares. And I also hold shares in this company I'm going to talk about now. It's a company called Petrofac PLC. Mm-hmm. Now, Petrofac, really, it's a former stock market darling in many ways. It's an oil services company, and it's very much a proxy to the oil industry and the oil price, but with a great spread of risk for the investor because it provides resource. It designs and builds oil and gas facilities. It manages and maintains facilities and infrastructure projects, and it works for all the oil majors around the world. Lots of smaller companies, so its spread of risk is very attractive to an investor. And as I said, it's very much a proxy for the oil company, the oil industry, and the oil price. The epic code is PFC, and we've seen the stock trade as high as £9. We saw it dip briefly below £4 towards the end of last year, and it's now just pushed back up over £5 again. A lot of this is on the back of uncertainties over the chief executive and founder Ayman Asfari, and there is an issue with the Italian authorities in regard to some trading activities that were allegedly undertaken, which he's defending. But in real terms, compared to the company, compared to the strength within the company, that's really a sideshow. And in many ways, it's a red herring. And this was confirmed in December when the company issued a trading update ahead of the results, which are going to be published in March. The company said it was trading in line with expectations. It's got 5.2 billion $1 billion in new orders. And also on the back of that, the company are taking measures to strengthen the balance sheet and further develop the business expand its offering throughout the world. Interestingly, I use the VectorVest platform, as you know, with my colleague Dr. David Paul, and VectorVest was flagged up as a buy on the VectorVest platform on the basis of the upsurge in the forecast earnings growth rate, and also there's a metric called the relative timing metric on VectorVest too, which logs the stock at 1.45 on a scale of 0 to 2, which is excellent. So it's a very strong buy in that regard. The VectorVest have a current rating on Petrofac of £6.45 a share compared to just over £5 where we are today. So there is considerable upside on offer. And yeah, there's no denying the stock's been through a difficult time, but I think when you look at the underlying business, frankly, even if the chief exec had to step aside as a result of these allegations, I think there's a very strong management team in place. There've been some board changes recently, so if that change needs to happen, it'll be business as usual, and the company will carry on developing, growing as it currently is.
Yeah, well, do you know what? The chart looks quite promising because it's trading since that big drop off. Well, it did drop down to like 350, but it's trading in a range between £4 and sort of 480, and literally that was in the last 6 months, you know. And but recently, like you say, it's now at 513, so it looks like it's broke above that range. So it may come back to retest, you know, £5 odd, but it looks promising on the chart there. Anything else, Al?
Yes, indeed. Want to talk again about Prairie Mining, which we discussed last year. And the epicode there is PDZ. Stock has traded as high as 45p on the year and as low as 21p. Currently trading 32p. Prairie Mining owns two coal mines in Poland, but these aren't ordinary coal mines. They're coking coal mines. And of course, coking coal is a critical mineral as identified by the EU Commission, and it's used for smelting steel. And it's used has a wide range of industrial uses. Now there are two key mines. There's the Debiensko mine, which has a lower grade coking coal, but Debiensko is expected to start producing coal this year. So it's very much on the verge of starting to produce revenues and developing supply into the system. Both Debiensko mine and the flagship mine, which is Jankarski, are located very close to good infrastructure, i.e. road links, rail links, connections directly to steel smelting factories nearby. And it's also been well documented, of course, that Poland has up to recently been importing its own coking coal to fuel its own furnaces, so to speak. The new administration there, the new Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, strongly supports investment into domestic coal mines, and indeed there's been a surge of Chinese investment into the country recently, and he said that Poland wants to actively participate in regeneration of its local coal mines. And of course the Jankarski mine, which is rated to be the highest quality coking coal project in the Northern Hemisphere, quote unquote, is right at the top of that list. In addition to the developing the mines, Prairie have a partnership with China Coal to develop the mines, and China Coal are backing the investment into the infrastructure. There have been a number of brokers writing about this. We had Aligned Research with a note before Christmas with a conviction buy rating, saying that the partnership with China Coal is absolutely massive. The CEO of Prairie also is a guy called Ben Stojkovich, who's ex-BHP Billiton. And the combined factors, the near-term potential and for revenues as the coal start to produce as the coals go into production start to produce revenues, those combined add up to a price target of £1.18, which obviously is somewhere ahead of where we are now. Another note from Beaufort Securities over Christmas cited similar factors, and they have a target of 90p for Prairie and anticipate this year is going to be a very good and transformational year for them. So just to go back to the potential within the mines, there's a net present value estimated of some $3.3 billion worth of coking coal. And of course, as more surveys take place and as they look at the seams and the infrastructure around the mines, they're finding more belts of coking coal. So I think we can expect this to grow as we go forward. But that's a company that's worth about $50 million currently, with that sort of net present value and the near term potential to produce coal and turn that coal into revenue. Prairie is set for a very exciting year in 2018, and I will also declare at this point I am invested into Prairie as well. So I think it's important to get that clear.
Yeah, and again, chart wise looking okay. So, you know, it's had a previous, I mean, the rise it had from what was that sort of end of last year went from like 8p up to like 44p. But that was a spike there, but it's come back. Yep. And now it's consolidating a bit between sort of 36 and 30p. So it's a 32.
Yeah, there's good consolidation from a charting standpoint. It's building nicely, I think. And I think certainly there seems to be a clear floor around 30-32p. So I think we can expect to see this build. And as the news flow develops, we're expecting more news in the next 2 to 4 weeks. So watch this space.
Marvelous. That's PDZ. All right, excellent, Al. Speak next week, fella.
Thanks, Jess. Speak next week.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at 5, Tertiary Minerals, TYM. At 4, Lions Gold, LION. At 3, Fast Forward Innovations, that's FFWD. At 2, Active Energy, AEG. And the most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours was Feedback, FDBK, who Alan chatted about earlier on in the podcast. Okay, top five most liked RNSs today, first day of the trading year. At 5, Range Resources, Trinidad Operational Update. At 4, Savannah Petroleum, Holdings in Company. At 3, Active Energy, that's AEG, Cold Switch Full Scale Reactor Test Completed. At 2, Vast Resources, VST, that's 2018 CEO statement, new CEO of course. And at 1, the most liked RNS was Sirius Petroleum, SRSP, Aurora Field, MEM completed. That's it for the first podcast of the year. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.